Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RL?
Welcome to reality, spirituality. Oh my goodness, I'm actually trying to get out of this chat room. Somebody help me. Oh, let's see, hold on a second. Oh gosh, reality, spirituality. Welcome to reality, spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I would like to welcome you to the show. Oh my goodness, I have to get back. You know what, I'm going to have to call back. Hang up and call back in. Let's start this again. Okay, let's do this again. Let's start again. Reality, spirituality. Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
All right, spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Time to get real and welcome everyone. Welcome to reality spirituality. Oh my goodness, that's what happens in real life. Technical difficulties, but I'm on live and I have a guest, my favorite guest, Barbara Berger. But before we go to Barbara and before I introduce Barbara, let me just share with my listeners what this show is about, reality spirituality. Reality spirituality. It's about sharing different ideas, perspectives, different strategies, different tools, different ways to be happy. And when I say happy, of course, I'm speaking of an internal happiness, an internal way of living, setting your internal temperature gauge, if you will, to a contentment, a peace, a knowing, a trusting, surrendering that everything is in order. Everything is happening and unfolding exactly the way that it should be. The universe is in charge, people. Come on. Give up control. The universe is in charge. And reality spirituality is all about sharing with you. You know, I've been looking, all my life I've been searching for a feeling, an internal feeling. I wanted to be happy. And what I found was where I was looking, you know, relationships, bank account, titles, achievement, where I was looking, happiness cannot be found in anything external. Happiness starts and ends within. And so that is the big discovery in my life. And one of my favorite quotes from Abraham is, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. And today we're going to talk about relationships because honestly, let me just bring Barbara Berger on. Honestly, relationships, for me, they mirror, bring Barbara on. Welcome, Barbara. Welcome to Reality Spirituality.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. You know, for me, relationships mirror where I am, on my spiritual journey, where I am aligned with the universe. They're really a testament to they're a testament to my evolution, let me say that.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara?
That was a really nice introduction, I must say.
Oh, well, thank
I really,
you.
Yeah.
Barbara Berger is an international author, and her latest book, like I said, we're going to focus on relationships today. Her latest book, Are You Happy Now? What a great question. Are you happy now? I mean, I love it. 10 Ways to Live a Happy Life. And Barbara Berger, you know, introductions, everyone can read about you, but so let's really start and get into this. 10 Ways to Live a Happy Life. Go ahead.
Well, I think that what we decided that we would talk about tonight was that the 10 ways that I sketch in the book, which I just want to sort of say again so the people who haven't heard us before know, but we can also apply these 10 ways specifically to how we're doing in our relationships. But let me just go back for a moment and just tell our listeners how this book came about. As I've said before, it came about in the way that I wasn't planning on writing a book. I wasn't thinking about writing a book, but it was after one of those very momentous birthdays where I was laying on my sofa thinking that now I was getting really old and, you know, what had I learned from this long and eventful life that I had lived and from all the spiritual teaching that I had studied and from all the books that I myself had written and all the teaching and clients and all the things that I had done in my life. And then I asked myself the question, what did I need to remember to live the rest of my life a little bit more happily? So I started making this list, and I wrote down 10 things, which I would like to just read here so we know what the 10 ways are.
Please.
Number one that I wrote down is accept what is. Number two, want what you have. Number three, be honest with yourself. Number four, investigate your stories. Number five, mind your own business. Number six, follow your passion and accept the consequences. Number seven, do the right thing and accept the consequences. Number eight, deal with what is in front of you and forget the rest. Number nine, know what is what. And number 10, learn to see beyond impermanence. Now, this was the list that I wrote for myself. This was like my reminder. If I could remember these 10 points, then I thought, you know, that I would be able to live more happily. But then I thought when I was laying there on my sofa that if I was really going to remember these 10 points, that maybe I should try to explain to myself again why they were so important. So then I started writing, you know, about number one, accept what is, why is that so important? And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And then the same with number two. And it was like this storm of writing took me over. Mm-hmm. And then as I sort of worked on it, then later on it sort of dawned on me, well, this really could be a book and maybe this information would be useful to other people besides me. And then I showed it to my publisher here in Scandinavia and she loved it. So it was sort of a book that was born by accident. So these 10 ways really, the original title of the book was a reminder to myself because that's what it was. But I've also found out since I've been working with the concepts in this book for quite a few years now, the book is already published in 15, 16 other languages, so I've had a lot of feedback on it. And people really like these 10 ways and really find they're useful. But more specifically, we've even done courses on how can we use these 10 ways in terms of improving our relationships. So that was sort of why I had the idea that maybe we should try that tonight and see if we could do it a little bit more specifically because it's really a lot of fun.
I love specifics. And yes, it's interesting that you said that this book was written by accident, and there are no accidents in this universe. Mm. You know, there are no accidents.
I didn't really mean that kind of action. I meant in the sense that sometimes, you know, I've written like 15 books, and the last one we talked about, The Awakening Human Being, you know, I sat down to write that because it was a collection of the information that we had been teaching in workshops and lectures. So I had sort of a plan. That was really what I meant. I do realize that this book was not an accident, but it was more that it wasn't, you know, something I thought about beforehand. I want to write a book about 10 ways to live a happy life. It was more, it was, in some ways, I think, I sort of feel it was like, it was sort of just, the universe was just speaking through me at that moment because I was an open channel. It's more like that. It was my experience.
That, and that's what I wanted to say, that it was beautiful. The way your story about how this book was created is so beautiful and so heart. You just, in other words, it's just the universe touching you and saying, you know what? Especially you were in that state, and you know what? Let's see how we can work through this Barbara Berger these days. Let's see what we can. Yeah. And that's,
she's open at the moment. She's laying there. She's open.
I love that story, Barbara. I never get tired of hearing that again. And let's talk. And I love talking about specifics and relationships because, like I said before, relationships are just a mirror of. And I'm just going to speak for myself. Is just a mirror of me. And I just the last maybe month discovered that if there
great.
Is no,
I mean I so agree with you that relationships, they mirror where we're at, obviously. They do that.
And so what has happened is I've asked myself, how do I create peace in every single relationship, regardless of the person that is not quote unquote peaceful? But let's get specific. And so,
well, tell me what's your answer to that. That's a great question.
Tell me
what you found out. Let's not keep our listeners.
Okay. You know what? Because this is gold. This is gold. This is really gold. And this is, like you said, straight from the universe. There are different aspects. My priority is peace. Peace in mind. Peace for myself in every situation. Now we get to relationships. How can you have a peaceful relationship regardless of the person? And here is the answer. There's actually three answers. Number one, I cannot want anything from the person. I cannot want them to change. I cannot want them to see my point. I cannot want them to be anything different than they are. I can't want anything from them. I just can't. And I mean, if I want peace.
That's like my point number one, accept what is.
And number two, I can't have an agenda. I have no agenda with the outcome, no agenda with, you know how, I've lived having agenda with people all my life, even with my mother, even we talked about that briefly, who's disinherited. But, I always had an agenda. And the other thing is expectations. No agenda, no wanting, no expectations. Mm-hmm. And if I'm really, really focused on that, and then the relationship is peaceful. It cannot help but be anything but peaceful.
Well, at least you're peaceful, and that's your part of the bargain. What the other person has experienced is not in your control, but I totally love your point. I mean, it's totally in harmony with everything that I've been writing and that we're talking about in terms of my book also. I mean, again, it's our expectations and the war with reality and, you know, wanting different outcomes and not living in harmony with the way things are that spoil really so many of our relationships.
Well, I'm gonna add this too, because when I'm really aligned with that, not wanting, no agendas, and also no expectations, the other person is at peace also. I'm at peace, they're at peace. There's no way that someone can be in my presence and I don't want anything from you. I don't have any expectations from you. I don't have an agenda. And they're naturally at peace.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a great experience? I mean, you can test it with all your relationships. When you go in with that mindset and you are peace, I mean, it takes two to make war, right? So it is, as you say, it's not possible. because mm-hmm. you're non-resistant. I mean, there's nothing to have resistance against when you have that mm-hmm. mindset. Congratulations. So you are happy now.
I am happy now in this moment. Yes, I am happy now in this moment.
Mm-hmm. But also you're happy when, I mean, people often ask me because I've written a book, Are You Happy Now? They ask me, am I happy now? And I always say, well, I'm happy when I am mindful of these principles. I mean, so what you just said, your 3 points, when you're together with another person and you're mindful, in other words, you're aware and you're understanding of those 3 points are uppermost in your consciousness, then you are happy now. So I always say, yeah, when I follow my own advice, then I'm really happy, but I don't always do it, right?
That's so interesting.
That's the trick, right?
Yeah. Well, the trick go ahead.
Well, I think the trick is also that to realize that we're not always mindful, and that's why my last the book before this was The Awakening Human Being. I didn't call it The Awakened Human Being. I called it The Awakening Human Being because I think most of us, and anyway, I know I'm speaking for me, and I think probably also for you, that we are in the process of awakening.
Yes.
And being kind and to ourselves is not to bash ourselves and blame ourselves when we slip back into unconsciousness, and that. It's also true in our relationships. We're not so evolved. We're not so awake yet that it's a permanent state for us. So again, it's flashing on and off, and the glimpses are lasting longer and longer. And when we're in this state of awareness, it's true. It is really, really peaceful and delightful to be whoever we are, wherever we are, whoever we're with. It does work. But I can only speak for myself. I know that I'm not there always.
I have to say that I agree, but I'm getting there a lot. One of the things that I've asked for the universe is I think we talked about it before, but there are certain people that can, you know, push my buttons, for lack of another term, and they're really not pushing my buttons. It's really what's inside of me. It's really what's inside of me that is the issue. So what I know, there's three specific people that, when I'm around them, there's certain things that they say is just like so annoying. So now I got to go back to the mirror and I have to say, why is that so annoying? Like, I give you an example of a really close coworker that I've known for maybe 10 years. And when we have conversations, one of the things that annoys me is her bringing up seminars or other people. Did you read this book? Or you should listen to this person on the radio. Mm-hmm. Or what about mm-hmm. this? Why don't you, in other words, for me, this is
giving
this,
you
these
advice.
Are my, yeah, no, this is my, thought. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know how evolved I am? Give me some back. this is really backstage. Don't you know how evolved I am? These people that you're telling me to read, they should read my stuff. They should read my articles. And so I'm really taking it personal. I'm really insulted. And then I had to really look at that and I'm thinking, what is really going on here? What is really going on? Well, I found out that it's obvious that I don't believe that I'm that evolved, because if I really believed it, if I really knew it, nothing she could say would bother me. Absolutely nothing.
Well, good girl. That's a really good understanding. I agree with it. Because, I mean, also it's only your opinion of you that can upset you, right? Not really what other people say or do. Yeah.
Yes. And that's always the issue. It's my opinion, what I think of myself. It's never what any. And so when I think of myself, when I really align myself with who I am and really embrace it and start and just start just being that person, then anyone can say anything to me and I'm going to be fine.
Mm. It's also, I think, also what you're talking about is, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but Eckhart Tolle, he has this concept called the pain body. You know, the guy who wrote The Power of Now.
Yes, I know.
He has this concept of the pain body, which is, we have our, you could call it our conditioned responses, the learned behavior from our childhood, the traumas, whatever you know, the personality traits, all of that stuff that we have accumulated over time, and that this pain body for most of us is dormant. But then there's, as you say, you have three people in your life, or we have certain situations or people or whatever that trigger this pain body, which is, again, just a symbol or a word for those old patterns, the habitual behavior and so on. And that if the pain body is very powerful, that it's sometimes you feel like you sort of get, you know, like, what happened to my, you know, all my wisdom and intelligence, right? But it is, as you say, that the more we are aware of what's going on, the more present we can be with that, then it doesn't take, as you said, with this woman, you had your realization about what was going on, and now the next time you meet her or the next time it comes up, you will be present at a new level with her. And even if the old stuff is awakened, you probably won't have a conditioned response based on that. So that's also really important to notice, that kind of evolution.
Well, I'm around this woman every single day. She works in my office,
okay.
She has said it since. After I've actually even had the conversation with her, you know, why don't you know how? I mean, I've actually asked her that, and which is really interesting too, because now that was just me trying to. There I go. I want her to recognize. I want something from her. I have an agenda with her. I expect her to speak differently, and no, but I have to say that I've graduated to, because she said it again and again and again. This is what she's going to say to me, and now it's like her words are music to my ears now.
Good girl. So you understood that wanting her love and approval or her recognition or her respect or all of these things that's very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very stressful.
So you can't. I can't want anything from anyone.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No.
Let's go. So now where are we? Because I love the way our conversation is. It's just all over the. But
we
so
always
many really
have,
good.
We
points.
Always have. We let spirit guide us, right? I mean, you're really talking about. I mean, your three points they harmonize so well with the first one in my book. Want accept what is, and the second one, want what you have. I mean, again, accepting what is in terms of, you know, our relationships. That I work as with clients every day. I'm a therapist, so when I see people with relationship problems all the time, and we call it getting real in terms of. I mean, when you accept what is, it doesn't mean that you know you can't take care of yourself and have healthy boundaries and treat other people with love and respect. We're not talking about anything like that, but more about just noticing who this person that you're with really is. And if you're in a relationship with someone, you know, that instead of building your life situation on your expectations to what the person should do or how they should be, but instead to sort of, you know, step back and say, what is it that I've got here? And then relate to that. It's a much more self-empowering, constructive place to be. And in fact, Tim and I, we have developed an exercise because we do a lot of workshops. So we have in our workshops, we have this exercise which we call expectations versus reality. And we do this for people in terms of their relationships. And I think I'll go through it briefly because it's a very interesting way of talking about what we're talking about. The first, this exercise has four steps. The first step is to say, for example, you pick your partner, whoever it is you want to do the exercise about. So it's your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or whoever. And then you think of three things that you think this person should do that would improve your relationship. And then, for example, I think my husband should play with the children more, or I would like my partner to be more interested in spirituality, or I don't think my partner should drink so much. So three things that you think would improve, in other words, your wishes or your expectations, what would this do for the relationship, it would make it better. The second step is, what's the reality? It's the reality testing step. So you take these three things that you started with, and then we ask people to, okay, so now you're like, you know, you're like a scientist. What is the facts here? You know, and then we took the first one, like, your husband should play more, my husband should play more with the kids. Well, does he play with the kids? Or does he play with the kids sometimes? How much does he play with the kids? Does he ignore them completely? In other words, a reality test. What are we talking about here? And then, for example, he should be interested in spirituality. Well, is he not interested at all or a little bit? Again, what are we talking about? Or the drinking, you know, does he drink, is he an alcoholic or does he take a glass of wine once in a while? What are we talking about? So getting real, right? Then the third step is when you, instead of, because most of us, we've discovered most people, the feeling that they have about the partner is based on their expectations, the first bit. How would you feel if you based the way you feel about this person on reality instead? You know, would you be overjoyed? Would you be angry? Would you be disappointed? What feelings come up if you relate to the reality instead of your being lost in the dream there? And then the fourth step is, what action would you will you take or should do you feel that would be appropriate now based on relating to reality instead of your expectations? And we do this with large groups. And I remember one time we did it with 100 women in Sweden. We were at this business conference that these business women had invited us. And we did a whole morning where we did this exercise. We did it very slowly. And then afterwards, four women came up to us and said, after doing this exercise, I'm going to leave my partner. I can see that it'll never work. And four other women came up to us and said, I'm going to be so much happier in my relationship now that I've done this exercise because I realize that I should focus on all the good things that I have. So a lot of people came away from this with a completely new way of viewing what's going on in the relationship. Instead of being lost in the illusion and lost in the expectations or the dream or, you know, I want this person to change. He has potential if I work on him. He'll that stuff. And then just say, okay, what I see is what I get. What does that do to me, and how should I deal with that? It's so liberating.
Oof, what a great, great, great example and great stories. I love how four women came up with different, totally different solutions, and that's one of the things I like.
Totally different solutions.
I love to stress that there's 7.2 billion people, and we all have 7.2 billion different perspectives. But getting back to this exercise, this is something else that's new. I don't know about you, but when I was younger and even married and boyfriends and all this, I never liked the person that I was with totally. I always wanted to tweak a little bit of this and tweak a little bit of that. And why can't you be a little bit romantic? And why can't you be a little bit more strong? And why can't you be, you know, and what about all of this, always trying to tweak someone else? And what I found is, especially now, is if I can't accept the person right now for who they are, because who they are is how they behave, period. It's not about what they say.
But I think also one of the things that where we go wrong, just relating to what you're saying, is that, first of all, we have such unrealistic expectations to what a relationship is going to do for us. So having a more, you know, a moderate, mature view of relationships as a whole, that, you know, even if I have a great partner, I mean, I'm still me and he's still he, and, you know, that the person can't always, you know, hold you in positive regard, and that you will have things that you don't agree about. I mean, so again, the whole thing about, you know, we have these romantic ideas that are just have nothing to do with the way real life is, you know, that we should always be in agreement and it should always be, he should always look at me with the positive regard and I should always look at him, and it never happens like that. So just to begin with, our expectations of what a relationship is going to bring to us really spoils so much of it. So, and then the next thing is, as you say, the tweaking. Okay, the tweaking is, I would say it's also a question about, there's nothing wrong with asking for what you want. I mean, if you want something, your partner's not a mind reader, and it's clear communication is, you know, darling, I would really like it if da-da-da-da. But then that's about as much as you can do. And then the other person can say, I hear you, sweetheart, and, you know, that's not, I don't feel that that's the right thing for me. And that, you know, that's as good, that's, and then the person says, yes, great. But, I mean, again, you can express your needs and wants, but it's also each person's job to find out how much they're supposed to do for themselves and not expect. So there's so many things involved in what you're saying, actually.
Yeah.
Not expecting other people to fix things for us. I mean, that's where also so many people go wrong.
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna take another approach on this. I'm gonna take another approach on asking somebody for what I want, because I don't I don't agree with that, and I'm gonna give myself what I want. I'm gonna give myself what I need, and one of the things that I've discovered is if I ever add anybody else in my happiness equation, I'm screwed.
I totally agree. But that's not the same. Again, you're responsible for you and you're responsible for your happiness. I totally agree with that. But it doesn't mean that you can't, ask another person if they'd like to join you with something. And it doesn't mean you can't ask another person that, it would be fun if we go to the beach together today. Would you like to do that? I mean, if you say no,
true.
I'm not going to drop dead. But I mean, I can ask for what I want. I think it would be a fun thing if we did that. So again, I don't think it's so black and white. I mean, it's like, but again, the bottom line is if your happiness depends on someone else, that's what you mean. And your happiness, as you said at the beginning of the show, happiness is an internal, entirely subjective experience. So therefore we know, if we understand the mental laws and the way the mind works and the way the universe is put together, that our happiness does not or cannot depend on another person. It doesn't work like that. So it's, again, our misunderstanding of the basic mechanism of the universe.
I was just going to say, not only can it not depend on a person, it cannot depend on your circumstances either. Situations, it really can't depend on anything other than what's going on inside.
Yeah. Well, that's what I write about totally in this book, that if we understand the mechanism of mind, we will come to see that there is this thing called reality or whatever we want to call phenomena arising before us, and then we have our stories or interpretations about what this means for us, and that's what we experience. And when we watch, we see that different people react differently to exactly the same circumstances, so we know that there's no inherent value in anything in the outer. It's totally based on our interpretation. So if you think it's great, you're happy, and if you think it's terrible, then you're not. It's very simple once we get it.
It is simple, and if you're for whatever reason not feeling connected, not feeling happy, not feeling something's up, if you're ever feeling that, guess what? All you need to do is change your perspective. Change your perspective, and you change the way you feel.
But it's also a very good thing to, and that's actually point number four. Yeah, investigate your stories in this 10 ways to live a happy life. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're unhappy about something that's going on in your relationship, in your life, with your partner, whatever it is, it's a really, really good idea to try to write down as specifically as you can what is it that's bothering you about this situation or this person, and you will see always that it is your interpretation. So therefore, if you can look at your interpretation and deconstruct that, then what you're suggesting, change your point of view, happens automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes your experience. So it's all in our heads. It really is.
It is.
All
it really
is. Are in our heads, right?
And every relationship, but the most important relationship is our relationship, in my opinion, and of course my opinion, it's with self. It's my relationship with myself is the most important relationship, period.
Mm. Mm. Exactly. Yeah.
We have a caller that wants to – go ahead. I was going to say we have a call that has to that has either a comment or a question, so let me bring them on air. Hold on a second. They're live. Welcome. You're live on Reality Spirituality. What's your name?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My name is Vicky. How are you guys?
Your name is Vicky?
Yes.
Hi, Vicky. Welcome to the show. We're really good. How are you?
A little bit under the weather, but I'm okay.
Okay. So what's going on with you, Vicki?
Well, I was listening and to the debate going back and forth, and I have to say that I agree with both of you. I think happiness, of course, you can't search for happiness from someone else. However, you can ask, like, you know, to join me. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. are you willing to join me? So both of you guys are right on point. I have had a tangible relationship in about 2 years. I've had a relationship, but not, you know, tangible. And I am open, and I've done a lot of work. I am open, and I am ready to have that life partner. You know, that's what I want, and I'm open to receive it. However, part of me is a little scared.
Scared
even
of?
Though that, and what's your question? What's your question?
What's your question?
It's like, how do I make myself a little more vulnerable, so to speak? It's like I know what I want, I know what I'm looking for, but I know that I need to be a little bit more vulnerable, so to speak. Do you guys
Barbara?
Have any?
Okay.
And again, what is your question?
Yeah.
How to be vulnerable?
How to be vulnerable? Well, it sounds
yeah.
like you're pretty vulnerable. I don't think you need to work on that.
You know, I have all my friends. I think I am, but I have my friends. They're like, you just need to be vulnerable. You're just not vulnerable enough. And I'm like, I think I am. What am I supposed to do? Climb the, you know, the Empire State Building and jump off of it? I don't think so.
Well, what are we talking about? What's your definition of vulnerable? What are we talking about here?
Relationships.
Got to define.
With relationships, you know, that for me, I'm open. I enter into the relationship. However, if something feels a little off, then my wall goes right up.
Ah, okay. Well, I think I understand what you're asking. So, yeah, definitely. So again, I mean, your job is to be as much in alignment with who you are and to follow your integrity. And if you're attached to the results, in other words, if you're worried about whether the other person is going to stay or go, then you're already in have a problem there. So I think that's what you're talking about. So
I don't think it's a matter of staying or going. It's the matter of, like, I mean, is he honest enough? Is he being truthful about whatever our conversation is about?
Okay. Well, you have your own inner compass and inner guidance, so you know, you must know the answer based on what's happening in front of you. I mean, again, nobody else can tell you that. You have to trust your own judgment. So again, we're talking about following your integrity and the inner guidance. So you actually know the answers to all those questions. You just got to trust yourself. Be present. You will know.
Maybe that's what it is. I probably not trusting myself enough.
Yeah.
Maybe
Well, let me throw in my two cents. This is Rebecca, and number one,
hi,
thank
Rebecca.
You so much for calling and being so open and to share with not only us, you know, with the world. The world is listening.
I know, right?
But that's okay. Number one, I was writing notes while you were talking. You're talking about you're ready for this man to come into your life, and you're mm-hmm. ready for the relationship, and you haven't been in a relationship for 2 years. Number one, I would say stop and relax and surrender. This is not your plan, honey. This is not your plan. This is the universe's plan, and the universe has a great plan for you, and you're not in control.
Okay.
So there must be a reason why you're not in a relationship right now. Who knows what the reason is? The universe knows what the reason is. So you're not
mm-hmm.
in control, number one. And relax and trust and surrender, because you will get what's best for you at the perfect
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I would say, you said, you know, talking to your friends. Stop talking to your friends and asking for advice about you. They don't know. They can't give you advice about you. Only you can give yourself. Only you know. They say be more vulnerable. What does that even mean? I mean, to you.
Yeah,
see, we're all so different, and we've all experienced different things from our different perspectives. I grew up with a different family. You grew up with a different family. So honestly, for me, I don't even think our words, the labels, the, the def- definitions are the same. Sometimes they're vulnerable. What? That could mean so many things to so many different people.
Exactly. Yeah,
so who cares what your friends are saying? It's only about what you're feeling. You know yourself more than anyone. That's number two. Mm. Number three is, for me, I would say, just like Barbara said, use your intuition and relax. Use your intuition and trust it, and let the universe drive.
Okay. And then what comes up also is, listening to what Rebecca was saying, is the more needy you are, the more you push away whatever it is that's
well,
coming
that
to
you.
Well,
that I'm not. I'm not needy at all.
Good.
Okay. I need to learn to be
then
a little needy.
Then go with
needy,
the grace of God. There's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I need to be a little needy, but no.
No, you don't need to be needy, and what you do, well, but you're saying you're the way you expressed your question earlier, it's like you're feeling a need to be in a relationship.
Mm. Okay, no. I am ready for one, but I don't
need to be in one. Wait a minute. How do you know you're ready? You say you're ready. If the universe said you're ready, you'd be in one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Thank you for calling, Vicki. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, that was fun, huh, Barbara?
Definitely. It's always great to talk to people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get back, and she's still listening. Vicki's still listening. So let's get back to other concepts in your book that are really important. I love this. Mind your own business.
Well, as we know, we've talked about this before, but in terms of our relationships, I sit as a therapist with people every single day, and this whole concept about your business and my business and having healthy boundaries and the whole thing about, you know, you are you and I'm me and you have your thoughts and your emotions and I have my thoughts and emotions. And how does that, you know, play out in relationships if we are not good at respecting each other's boundaries, if we don't have a respectful way of talking to each other or dealing with each other, or if the one partner is always telling the other partner what to think or do or feel. I mean, it's such a mess because of that. So minding your own business, having that as a sort of, again, as a consciousness exercise, an awareness exercise, a pointer in a relationship, in any relationship, is so helpful. When we're minding other people's business, and let me just define that, when we're mentally in there, I'm not just talking about things that we say to people, but also in our mind, you know, he should be like that, she should be like that, he should do this, he should do that. It's really, really very destructive to ourselves and to our relations. Yeah. When you think about it, when you start to become aware of it, you realize how much mental energy you actually use minding other people's business in your mind. And actually, I must say that usually when people come to therapy with me, if it's a relationship issue that we start with, I give my clients homework, you know, what they're going to, a focus thing that they're going to do for the whole week until they come the next time. And I usually start people out with this focus on minding your own business and see what you discover. And for a whole week, every time you notice that you're mentally minding someone else's business, come back to yourself and release the other person. And people come back and they say, it's just amazing what they discover, how much mental energy they're using minding other people's business, and what a relief it is to stop doing it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the longer chapters in the book because it covers so much, and it's such a simple concept in a way, but if you practice it, just for a week or two, it can totally transform your life and your relationship. Actually, here's another funny story. I had a woman who'd been coming to me for about a half a year, and she came married and two children, very successful businesswoman. but she was having problems with her family. And I gave her that as the first exercise, and it was really sort of the main theme of the work we were doing together. And then suddenly she said to me after a while, it's really, really strange, Barbara. I'm the only one in the family who's going to therapy with you, but it's as if the whole family is going. And I sort of laughed to myself, and it was like, just because she is learning to mind her own business, everybody else in her family is so much happier now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a really powerful focal point to use if you really want to improve your relationships. Just work on that one for a couple weeks and see what happens. I mean, you'll be amazed.
Like I said, get everybody out of the equation. Nobody should be in your equation. The other thing is, when I go into a dark room, and if I'm feeling so connected to the universe, what I do is light up the room. So when I'm saying that is when I'm evolving, when I'm changing, and I share this with my audience, when I'm doing something different than I have been year after year after year, and I just break this pattern and evolve, the world changes. When the individual changes, the world changes.
Well, you're really also talking about, I don't know if you're familiar with David Hawkins, with the different calibration levels. Well, anyway, the different energy fields, as you evolve and you go to these higher energy fields, I mean, the energy, the influence, the power that you radiate is so much, your influence on other people's situations is so much more powerful, and that's really what you're experiencing when you move from, say, at the lower energy fields of fear, anger, desire, pride, all of that stuff, which are all sort of negative energy fields, and you move up to acceptance, courage, willingness, love, appreciation, joy. The higher the energy field is, the greater your impact, I mean, without even trying, on the world around you. And so, of course, and then when you add the law of attraction, that you, the ones who show up around you, they're the ones who harmonize with the energy that you're emitting. So everything changes, at least for us, when we change.
Yes, and you know, I want to add this too about energy and levels and negative versus positive, because I like to get rid of labels, and because in the universe there is no negative and positive, but what there is if you think about water, and when the water freezes, it, you know, it's an ice cube, and then when the then when the water melts, it's, you know, just liquid, and then when you put it over the stove, it's steamy. So you're either dense like an ice cube, or you're flowing, or you're steamy. So this steamy energy is what I'm talking about. It's just when you're so full of steam, and can you imagine anything even affecting steam? No, it's a different level of being, and it's just regardless of what's happening. And believe me, I don't have this 100%, but I definitely realize when I'm steamy as opposed to feeling like an ice cube. Yeah.
That was a good image. Thanks for sharing that. That's very good.
And you know what? Ice cube is so hard, and you can throw it, and it cracks, and it breaks, and it's nothing against ice cubes in a drink, but if you really want, yeah, it's just a different way of thinking. I have something I want to share with you.
Go ahead.
This is about a mother who wrote in to me, and I'm actually answering her question in my next newsletter. She says her 20-something-year-old daughter is smart and talented but has an unforgiving and intolerant nature that worries me. She has some tendencies. She can't sleep. She can't seem to relax. What can I do to help her open up to the wonders of the world and look for the best in people rather than the worst, and to be more kindly, compassionate being? She's too young to be so cynical and negative and self-absorbed. Is there anything I can do?
Uh,
my,
are you asking me, or you're going to?
Well, yeah. You know what? Let me get your feedback, and then I'll share with you my feedback.
Well, I think first of all, as all of us who are parents, by the time our children get to be 20 years old, we can't do anything more. That our job is over. And again, it doesn't mean that we can't be supportive and treat them with respect, and it doesn't mean that we can't talk about what we think is important, but we as a 20-year-old kids, it's game over. I mean, we had a chance when they were small to, you know, to share our values, and we did the best we could to bring them up as best we could, but again, let go and let God, mind your own business, and you know, trust in the intelligence of your daughter and her path, and who knows what's best for her and what the universe has in store for her. And, you know, so there's really a lot involved in in having kids that age, you know. But I see a lot of people that are struggling with that, and that's let go, surrender. Trust in the intelligence of this wonderful person that was your child, still is your child, but is grown up now.
Well, you know what? You're just such a sweet little soft woman. This is how I would answer it. I mean, come on now,
okay.
Barbara. And actually, when I'm writing to her, one of the things I say, I mean, listen, I'm going to say it with a lot of love, but one of the things I say is, put your seatbelt on, honey, because my response is going to require a seatbelt. She's talked about being worried about her daughter, and I would address this worrying as such a useless emotion. It really doesn't do anything for her or for you. Mm-hmm. And not only this worrying, for me, and I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, but if I tell someone that I'm worried about them, what do I want? Why am I telling them that? Is it because I'm saying that I'm concerned about you or I care about you? Or do I want you to change your behavior because I don't want, you know, you shouldn't want me to worry, so change your behavior. There's a lot of stuff behind people saying out loud, especially, you know, when you're advertising someone else, that you're worried about them.
There's deeper, even deeper than that. If we go a little bit deeper, we'll also
see that
we're really basically saying that you know, that we know what is good or bad. And the reality is, we don't know what's good or bad. There's the short term and the long term. We don't know what the life path is of this soul. We don't know what the agenda is for this soul. We don't know if what, you know, again, we come to this, to the value of crisis and difficulties. I mean, I, again, work as a therapist. People come to, they don't come to see me because they're happy. They come to see me because they have crisis. They come to see me because they're having trouble with their relationship or their bodies or their job or what are their kids or whatever it is. And I always know that, you know, right now things look really grim to them. They can't see anything good in what's going on. But I know 3 to 6 months down the road that this so-called unbearable situation is the open door to transformation. So again, this 20-year-old girl who's negative or whatever the mother says she is, and who knows even if that's true, who knows what her life path is and who knows what lessons she needs to learn. And if she has some difficulties, you know, that's also the grace of God calling her to go up higher. So, again, to have a little bit longer-term view of the evolution of all of us, of our souls and what our life paths are, and if we look back, I mean, how did you get to be so wise, Rebecca? How did I get to be so wise? It's by all the trouble we've had, all the pain, all the difficulties. That those have been our great teachers.
That's
so,
right.
So again, who,
that's right.
Who knows what's good or bad?
Right.
I
threw this in too, though. I'm throwing this in too, Barbara. She says, unforgiving and intolerant. She says, not compassionate. She's negative and self-absorbed. And I'm going to throw that right back at her, and I say, you're not your issue is not your daughter. You just described yourself.
Exactly.
You
That's
just
totally
yeah, you just described yourself. And this judgment, you know, judgment, judging her, judging others, judging self, this is not about your daughter. And I did say the same thing that you said, is your daughter has her own path, and trust and know that the universe has her and has her by the hand. But anything that you
isn't
recognize.
That a wonder, if, that's a wonderful thing. It's a very comforting thing to know when you're so-called worried about someone else, when you have, you know, that you can see someone that you love dearly. Someone that you love dearly really is having a hard time, and you worry. It's really, really self-soothing to really say that, you know, that I don't know what the best is for this person. I can't see the end of all things. The universe, God is fully present with this person. Divine intelligence is fully present with that person as much as it is with everyone else. I mean, they're very comforting thoughts.
Very, very, especially if you believe it.
Yeah. Well, I do. No, it's very comforting for me.
Right, but I'm saying a lot of, you know, if you really believe that, when you really believe that, the worrying,
really
there is no worrying at all. Zero. But, yeah, this thing about, I'm just telling her daughter is fine. And one of the things I'm going to tell her is, if I met your daughter, I would not describe her the same way that you're describing her. That your description is based on, this is through your eyes, and so everything that you see is your actor actually reflecting yourself. So, no, I would not have the same
No, but that's true of everyone. Every one of us lives in our own mental universe. I mean, you know, like there's 7 billion people on the planet, but there are also 7 billion universes and 7 billion experiences going on. They're not identical. So even though we say we live in one world, yes and no. You know, we're all focal points in consciousness, so we're each having our own personal experience of this thing called life.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe I mean, it doesn't seem like it was an hour, Barb. It seems like it was 10 minutes.
Well, I'll be back in a month.
I know. That's what's so wonderful.
It's like we're dating, right? We see each other every month.
And let me tell you something.
Let me just tell our listeners about that.
Please.
They can find out more about me on the website. I have a website called www.beamteam.com, BEAMTEAM.com. And this book, Are You Happy Now?, you can buy it on Amazon. It's available as an e-book, a Kindle book, a regular book. So if you're interested in the concepts, you can buy it there. And if you go in on the website, there's a lot of stuff on the website that's also for free. You can go in and explore a bit. There is the little book I wrote, The Mental Laws, that Rebecca and I have talked about a lot. You can download that for free on our website, and that's a sort of a very short explanation of the way the mind works and how you can use this information to improve your life right now. So that's what I wanted to tell our listeners.
Thank you. And also, Barbara is available for sessions. She can do sessions
Skype. That's true. I forgot that. Yeah, Skype, right. So, so yes, Rebecca, once again, in lovely California from wonderful Copenhagen. I mean, technology is so fantastic, how it brings us together.
California to Copenhagen, California to Copenhagen.
Groovy?
It sounds like a song that
we
need to write.
We just had the most amazing storm here yesterday. All the lots of trees fell down, the trains were in. I mean, Europe had this huge, huge hurricane. And it really crashed through Denmark yesterday. So right now we are enjoying the calm after the storm. It's very nice. So I wish you a lovely day in lovely California, and thank you for having me on, and I'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, thank you. Next month. Thank you so much. Barbara's on every
week, next month.
The last Tuesday of every month Barbara is on. I'm going to close out the show, Barbara, and thank you again
for being live
on Reality Spirituality. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
So, everybody, you've been listening to Reality Spirituality with Rebecca Lynn Norrington. And, of course, you can find out more about me on my website, which is www.rebeccanorrington.com. And also follow me on Twitter, RL Norrington. Like Reality Spirituality on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and go to Reality Spirituality. And until next time, I want you all to remember who the hell you are. you are an extension of the universe. You are a physical extension of the universe. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Be your own friend. And remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality, and I will talk to you again Saturday, every Saturday and Sunday, 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Reality Spirituality. Love you all. Bye.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real. Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, time to get down.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, you're gonna feel good.